Welcome to the Post Game Plan. I'm your host, Ali Samani, and this is the career development home for all current as well as former NBA players. Today we have a very special guest. His name is Daniel Ewing, and he's currently playing in Ukraine. He played four seasons under Coach K at Duke, and that was from 2001 to 2005. He's a McDonald's All-American in 2001 and was selected 32nd overall by the LA Clippers in the 2005 NBA Draft. He's played in Russia, Poland, and currently plays, as I mentioned, in Ukraine. Very happy to have him. Daniel, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, Ali. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure. So you're definitely, I mean, we got an opportunity to like chat it up a little bit before, and you were telling me a little bit about how unique your experience is. And I know you played two seasons with the Clippers. How did that transition take place, you know, when you going abroad, and how did you make that decision?
But it wasn't easy at all, especially considering my departure from the Clippers, being released after that second season. But basically, it came about because that second year, beginning of the year of my second season with the Clippers, we played in the NBA Europe team, and we went to Moscow. The team went to Moscow and played some exhibition games against some of the European teams in that station in Moscow, and I actually went to one of those teams when I got released.
Oh wow!
So, it was kind of crazy how everything happened, and then I really didn't really look at it like that. But you know, having that exposure at the beginning of the year was kind of my ticket to how I got to Europe. And it was basically, at that time, I basically made the decision based on a financial standpoint. You know, the contract I received was a lot more lucrative than what I would be making at third year in the NBA. So that was basically how I made that decision then.
Definitely. Now, you played, just to kind of backtrack a little bit, you played four seasons at Duke. Now, you played definitely for, you know, a very accomplished and mentor in the game of basketball. Tell me a little bit about that experience playing for Coach K and kind of the things that you learned in terms of life outside of the game.
Well, obviously, I mean, for me, it was a great experience. You know, growing up, that was my school of choice that I wanted to attend if I had the chance as a kid. And when I got the chance, it was no brainer when I found out that, you know, Coach K and his staff wanted to offer me a scholarship. Playing for Coach K was great. Yeah. He taught me many things about the game of basketball, how to play the game the right way. And, you know, his philosophy and his logic on teaching us how to become, young men at the time. Was pivotal in my development as a player and a person.
Definitely. So what did you study at Duke?
I studied African and African-American history.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm sure throughout the course of your career, you've had many mentors that have kind of guided you along the way. Which mentors really stick out in your mind that kind of helped you get to where you are today?
Well, like I said, playing for Duke and playing for Coach K was obviously, he was a great mentor for me. My 4 years there, and we occasionally still speak. And I actually texted him not too long ago when he broke the record. My high school coach has been a great mentor for me. A close friend of mine, TJ Ford, who is currently with the Pacers. Has also helped me in a lot of ways, you know, both on and off the court.
That's fantastic.
And Sam Cassell, who was my teammate with the Clippers, has been a big help for me as an older guy in the league and veteran, and you know, his experience on and off the court.
Wow, that's great. Now, in terms of, you know, playing abroad and Obviously, there's a large contingent of players, American players, that play in Europe, as well as in China, among other countries and continents. But tell me a little bit about that experience and how it's kind of molded you in terms of being the person you are today, and maybe matured you in different ways.
Well, it's definitely an experience, to each his own, so to speak. What kind of experience it would be, it depends on the person. But it's definitely coming from the top, which being the top being the NBA, coming from the NBA and going to Europe, it's an humbling experience. Because you really don't understand. You really don't understand how good you have, playing in the NBA. Regardless of the situation, for me, I was a young guy who wanted to play more, wasn't getting the minutes I thought I should have been getting. And like I said, and when I went to Europe, I was looking back on some of the things that I was missing out on. And I'm at this point now, I'm like, man, I would love to be on anybody's roster, NBA roster, right now, and just being a great teammate, whether I'm the, sixth guy on the team or the 12th, 15th guy on the team. And you really don't understand that. You really can't understand that role until you place, you're not in it. They always say, you never know what you got until it's gone. And that's kind of, the experience I've learned, once I left the NBA. It's like, a lot of things we took for granted being in the NBA. It wasn't promised to us, it was a gift. We was blessed to be there. And it's just a matter of, while you was there, being thankful for it.
Wow. So, I mean, a lot of the players that are going through some of the same experiences that you kind of went through in terms of them playing, because, the odds of, first of all, you're right, it is a privilege to even play in the NBA, and the odds of getting into the NBA are so slim to none. Like, there's higher chances of, you getting struck by lightning or something crazy like that. It's such a privilege to play in the league. I mean, the advice that you would give players that are there right now that might be like, the final members on the bench, what would that be in terms of them taking advantage of that opportunity?
What you just said is great. It's great as far as what's going on, but the lockout and all that, it's a privilege. And I think, I can't speak for everyone,
right,
but I think most, when most guys make it to the NBA, it's like, you've obviously earned something. You worked hard, you went through, you endured a lot in college or, whatever it may be, So you worked hard to get there, so you earned it. But at the same time, I think a lot of us, when we get there, we think like, it's our right. It's our right that we're in the NBA. And you look at the situation now, there's no NBA.
Right.
It's a lockout. And for that reason alone, you have to be thankful and really take a look and really analyze that you're blessed, and it's a gift, and it's not promised that these things will be around. But to answer your question, for the guy that's not playing as much as he would like, or a young guy who's in the league who's still trying to mold himself and find his fit with his team on the NBA, my thing is, man, just be patient. Be patient. Continue to work hard. That hard work will pay off, but be patient, man. And every day, just be thankful, and count your blessings of where you're at, because the grass is not always greener on the other side.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, what a good, unfortunate situation that's happening currently, and a good topic to definitely discuss, because it definitely is a privilege to play in the NBA, and it's unfortunate to see what's happening. And I think that, a lot of us, when we see players going abroad and playing, the perception is that there are other options out there, but there's no option like the best option, which is just playing in the NBA and playing in the league, which has such a long history, such a long tradition, and is so well established around the world, right?
Definitely. I mean, why would you pick option two, you know, if option one is the best option.
Right.
Like you said, I mean, playing in Europe, you know, it's good competition, you know, especially if you get a chance to play on a team that's in the Euro League, which is the best, I say. I would tell people that's the best league to play in outside the NBA. So, you know, but like you were saying, like a lot of guys are kind of considering now, and even before this lockout was staggered on this long, was considering playing overseas, you know, whether it be China or, you know, in Europe somewhere. It's not too many options for these guys, especially some of these, you know, we've had mentioned, if we've heard talk of a lot of these young superstars, you know, Darren Williams being one who's already over here, but, you know, Kevin Durant, guys like Amar'e Stoudemire, these guys make a lot of money in the NBA. And the money that they're trying to get over here in Europe or wherever, China, these teams really don't have that type of money. So the options are very limited. Like you said, the options are very limited for an NBA guy to come play in Europe, because a lot of these teams' budgets are not that lucrative, but with the exception of maybe three or four teams, especially considering nowadays in terms of, you know, the economy and, you know, and financial situations all around the world, not just in the U.S.
Right. So, you know, that being said, and you understanding the opportunity that you've kind of been given, obviously a lot as, you know, you've matured quite a bit from your experiences, and obviously that's a blessed kind of feeling in itself. Tell me a little bit about how you've prepared for life after the game for yourself.
Well, actually, Ali, I'm still preparing.
Yeah.
I haven't quite figured out what it is exactly that I would like to do once my career is over, my basketball career is over. And, you know, I got, you know, a few ideas, but I'm not quite sure. You know, my wife seems to think that I'll be a great coach. And right now, not saying I don't think I would be a great coach. I just don't see myself being a coach at this point, you know, in my life. I don't think I have the patience for it.
Right.
You know, but, you know, like I said, who knows what the future holds, you know, after my career is over. But that's one option. As far as venture out in certain businesses, you know, looking to things of that nature, and just trying to make smart financial investments to, you know, prepare myself for when basketball actually ends for me, whenever that may be.
So do you have an interest in business?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I wouldn't mind having, you know, opening up my own business. What that may be, I'm not quite sure. Like I said, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is I want to do. If I did, that would be great. I love the day, you know, when I have that dream or that idea and it clicks and I know what it is. That way I can start preparing specifically for, you know, for what it is.
Right.
But right now, I'm still in the, you know, in the brainstorming process of, you know, trying to figure that out.
Yeah, and I think as long as you're considering it, as long as you're thinking about it, that's the most important thing for you to prepare, even mentally, because that's a process in itself. And as you mentioned, I mean, you're playing right now, and your number one focus right now is concentrated on, you know, excelling and doing well at what you're doing and making the most out of the opportunity that you currently have.
Definitely. I mean, definitely. But at the same time, you know, we all have the ability multitask. Like you said, you know, it's never a bad thing to prepare, for future things. You know, it's better to be prepared than to not be prepared and something suddenly happen. So, like you said, it's a process in itself in making that transition to, you know, that next career, whatever it may be.
Yeah, man.
So, like I was saying, hopefully, you know, I can figure this out sooner than later. That way, when the time comes, you know, that transition would be a lot smoother and maybe a lot easier for
me. Exactly. I mean, just to give you some food for thought, I speak to a lot of, you know, former players, and I can give you some insight into some of the careers that they have going on, one of which is a lot of them become coaches, like you mentioned. A lot of them And at different levels, you know, there's the high school levels, there's the collegiate level, there's the professional level, from becoming being an assistant coach. And another avenue that they also explore is the sports broadcasting avenue, as well as opening businesses, becoming professionals within the corporate world, and as well as becoming trainers. And so those are some of the things that I've seen thus far. And even players, I'm sure you're familiar with, like, you know, a guy like Mike James, who's even authored his own book about his experiences. And it seems like you have a fantastic type of, you know, experience that you've gone through throughout your life with the decisions that you've made and the things that you've learned along the way. And I mean, playing in Europe for the last 5 years is obviously a life-changing type of experience, and that's something definitely worthy of sharing as well. So that's just some things that you can potentially think about, you know, as you prepare and as you consider, you know, life after the game.
Definitely. And actually, I didn't know Mike wrote the book, but I did see that. I checked out the website, by the way.
Yeah.
I did see that website, and I didn't know. I actually, you know, Mike is an associate of mine. You know, we play together, some, you know, often at in Houston, where, you know, where we both live. You know, play pickup in the summer. So, yeah, I didn't know he wrote the book. Though. That's a great accomplishment for any.
Exactly, for anybody, it's a big deal. I mean, and I know a guy like John Wallace is really big in like the hedge fund area in terms of finances and things of that nature. So. If you're looking to, you know, connecting with anybody, just let me know. It would be a pleasure to connect you with the individuals that I've interviewed in the past and the ones that I know. And you know, we all hope and wish that you the best of luck overseas in your playing career, as well as, you know, some of the things that you got going on. Hopefully, when you retire and you know, look to establish yourself as a professional. And we wish you the best of luck, man. But before that, I want to, you know, give you an opportunity to speak to some of the players that are out there in terms of the international players and some of the advice that you'd give them, whether they're international or even domestic playing in the NBA, some advice and tips that you'd give them from a career standpoint that you've learned along your path.
Like I said, you know, continue to work, you know, at whatever level you're at, continue to work. You know, try to expand your game each season. You know, work on something different that, you know, that you didn't do well, or that you can improve for the next season. And you know, and you know, be professional. You know, be professional. That'll carry you a long way. Despite what type of season you had, you know, be professional and work hard. You know, good things that happen for you.
Absolutely, man. Daniel, I really want to thank you for your time here today. I wish you the best of luck in the future, and definitely looking forward to staying connected and seeing how things pan out. And we wish you, you know, all the success in the world. Good luck with practice today. I know you got it coming up in a couple of, I think in like half an hour, right?
Yeah, we got practice tonight. We got enough game tomorrow, so we got a tough schedule, man. It's been tough a couple of 7-8 days. I had just our fifth game in 9 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's been hectic.
Well, man, we wish you the best of luck, continued success, and, you know, we look forward to hearing about your successes on and off the court as we kind of go through the season and go through, you know, your career.
Definitely. I appreciate you taking the time to do this interview with me, Ali. Thanks a lot.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. Take care. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Post Game Plan. I'm your host, Ali Samani. Today's guest, Daniel Ewing. I'm very blessed and honored to have him. And once again, thank you guys for listening. Take care, everyone.